We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item number three on the agenda is public comments. If you are here for public comment, please come forward. You'll have 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good morning. Stuart Whiteside of Stephen Whiteside Associates, 501 Wander Park Boulevard. I'm here to represent the developers for Liberty Hill Farms and their request to extend the development agreement for the property up on Life Orange Road. As you know, it's a 322 unit development, which is about 50% built out currently. The development agreement was approved October 19, 2018, and it expires in a couple months in October. And due to COVID interruptions and the supply chain interruptions, they have not been able to complete the development in the 5 years that they had. So they're asking for an extension to the development agreement. But I'd like to remind the council of things that have been accomplished by the developer that were required with the original development agreement. They dedicated 7 acres to the town as a public park. And they have been installing extensive trail systems throughout their project. The current project has 50 acres of dedicated open space, which is 40% of the property. Extensive sidewalk and trail system has been developed, including a public trail system that connects Rifle Range Road to the Oyster Point trail system through that 7-acre town park. The roundabout was constructed on Rifle Range Road. North Lakeshore Drive and North Palmer Fort Drive were improved to town standards to benefit the existing residents. Traffic calming was also installed through North Palmer Fort Drive. The developer paid a lot of money to upgrade traffic signals along Rifle Range Road and gave the town $200,000 for future transportation improvements and benefiting Rifle Range Road and surrounding areas. And the developer also paid the town $1.5 million that went to the design, preparing, and construction of the Long Point Road extension. And all these improvements were done and approved before the final plat for the first phase, which was required by the development agreement. So we're asking for the extension for 5 more years so they could complete the development. There have been no changes to the development plan, and they would most like your consideration. Developers here today with me also, so if y'all have any questions, we'll be glad to answer them. Thank you.
Madam Chairman, I know that, I apologize for interrupting, right. But I know if former chief was here, he would correct the wording Long Point Road extension to the Vaughn Ed Key Road, and I know that former chief would have done that. Since he's not here, I'll do it for him. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chapman. Anyone else for public comment? Going, oh, all right.
I'm sorry.
Mike Tinkey, 208 Benning Street. I want to thank the town for working so hard on the Historic District Preservation Commission and working diligently to get new people on it. I know it's been an extreme challenge, and my wife served on it as chair for a while, so I know it's an opportunity, but one that many residents take very seriously and appreciate. They also appreciate the fact that the residents are from, or the members are from, the old village. That being said, it's been a real challenge to get them. So I would ask, as you look at this preservation membership requirements, to see if we can get more folks from the old village to serve. The members of staff have been great about coming up with ideas to make that work. One of them is to have an orientation session for interested parties so they can vet what the needs are, etc., and pick them. As of this weekend, I found 2 or 3 new people that may be interested in at least discussing it seriously. One for sure is interested in joining. So I would ask that we at least pause before taking the action of coming, bringing someone from the outside. If that is the only alternative in order to get them, then we may have to do that. But we'd love to pause as we look at some potential candidates. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else for public comment? All right, public comment is closed. Moving on to item four of the agenda, request to annex a parcel located at 2129 Gulf Drive.
Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and a second. Is there any discussion?
My only suggestion is this is part of the all of the good work that's been done on Annie Laura Lane. Is the next parcel. It's right now vacant. So hopefully it'll be a new house in the Annie Laura Lane area.
How is it contiguous? Sorry, just looking at that.
So it's contiguous. Actually, the same person owns the adjacent lot that you see in green, and he thought he was annexing both lots when he brought the other one through.
Okay.
Oh, that's not showing up very good, is it?
It just faded all.
Yeah, it looks really clear on my screen, but the green, it's adjacent, it's contiguous as it backs up to PD, which is in the town as well.
Okay.
But the owner thought he was annexing in and did. And it'll come in the same community conservation. Oh, thank you. There we go. So it's contiguous with the green.
Okay.
And the green was contiguous through the plan development.
All right. Do we have any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Moving on to item number five, the Liberty Hills Farms Development Agreement Amendment.
Okay. I can talk while he does that. As was mentioned in the public comment, this is a request to extend the development agreement for 5 years and then to amend the development schedule associated with the agreement. This was originally adopted in 2016. It was amended and restated in 2018. As was mentioned, it's 5 years, so it's set to expire in a few months. The development schedule that was originally approved is below, and here is what is proposed as far as building allocation for this development. Keep in mind, because this is under a development agreement, it is exempt from our building permit allocation system. Having said that, these are all single family. We've never met our threshold or our maximum for our single family building permit allocation. So I wouldn't anticipate there would be a problem anyway, but this is the schedule that they have. To date, we have issued 169 permits, and so they're requesting that 5-year extension in this development schedule.
All right. Do we have any questions from the committee? Mr. Chapman?
My only question is, we had a very good presentation from Mr. Whiteside, and I remember, because I was on the Planning Commission when this first started, that there were a number of things that were going to be done mm-hmm. for the town and paid to the town. And mm-hmm. I think Mr. Whiteside very eloquently presented us with everything that they have done already. Is there anything else left to do except to build the remaining houses?
I don't think so.
On behalf of the town, I mean.
Yeah, right. No, I think they've made all of their required dedications and constructed everything. I know they, in December, we give our development agreement update, and they had provided the town with the $200,000. So I think they've pretty much done everything. Mm-hmm. Just need to build houses.
Do you have anything? So I guess my question is, or my thought is, this is essentially, they're asking for a 5-year extension in exchange for what was already done, what was historic. Mm-hmm. And the world has changed. There's definitely, it was not their fault, COVID supply chain, but housing prices have also doubled. Mm-hmm. And this 50% of the development additional homes will be sold for, maybe we can call Mr. Whiteside to talk to it, double what was originally contemplated. That is going to be a financial windfall to the developer, with the extension. And I'm just wondering if there's any negotiations possible between the town and the developer for additional needs for that area, additional infrastructure needs that would potentially be possible. Mr. DeMora, is there something?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning to you, members of the committee. You could certainly ask us to do that. That is part of a development agreement. It's an agreement that ends up as a resolution of a negotiation on both sides. And so if you wish for us to do that, we would we would initiate that as soon as possible.
Thank you. But just because to me, this feels like a gift to them. It's a gift in exchange for nothing. It's wonderful that they have achieved all these things, but those were things that were negotiated for in the initial agreement. And there was a time frame of that initial agreement. And a lot of times, if I have a contract with someone to build my house by a certain time, there's penalties for being late in the contract, right? And or if they want to renegotiate, that's an amendment to the contract. That's a new thing. So I guess I would be more comfortable if there was some sort of exchange of something. We give them the extension, and there's something that the town gains from it, especially given how the market has changed. That's kind of my thought. Ms. Corley?
I love that. Is there, do you need a motion from us to put that in place?
Yeah, I think so. Please.
Okay.
Ms. Hyde, do you have any thoughts either?
It sounds good for us to take a moment to do some negotiating with them and see what comes of it.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Yeah. I move to send. Enable the town to go into negotiations with the developer and come back to us.
A second. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Yes, ma'am. You make the point about that there's a windfall that the developer gets by doing this 5 years later in terms of the cost of housing. Knowing that on the other side, the developer moved forward with all of the requirements and had to pay for all of the requirements that we made. So in terms of their requirements in the agreement, they made those requirements real for us. And it's very important now that we're building a new park. Because of the referendum. And while I think maybe we can negotiate, I think, for example, they gave us $1.5 million to help with some of the improvements we had to make on Rifle Range Road and the extension of Lawn Ed Key. That's $1.5 million we didn't have to pay to build that road. They also built a trail for pedestrian access back and forth between Oyster Point. They also gave us 7 acres per park. So the point I'm making is, yeah, we can try to negotiate, but it wasn't all. It's not going to be all. I guess, not going to be all additional funds. They had to go, and they did. They didn't have to do that stuff early on, but they did.
But they did have to do that.
I know that they did, but they made the point of not coming back to us 5 years later for some of these things that they were required to do. They could have done the same thing and said, oh, we couldn't do it because we didn't have the funds because we hadn't sold any more properties and hadn't built new houses. I just offer that as an alternative on the side of the developer.
All right. Are we any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, say aye. Aye. Of those opposed?
No.
All right. Motion carries 3-1. Moving on to item number 6 on the agenda, discussion of Historic District Preservation Commission membership requirements.
So just a little bit of background. This is actually being advertised to go to Planning Commission for a public hearing at their August meeting. We did advertise it very general, and so that we would have some room for discussion. So I think it's advertised just as proposed or some membership, looking at some membership requirements being changed for the HDPC. Just to give you background, we've had some difficulty getting folks to apply and keeping folks. Right now, just so you can see what our current requirement is. So right now we do, it's made up of 5 members. Right now we do allow for one of those 5 seats to live outside of the district. And then we also, it says town council shall fill at least one seat with a professional in, and then it lists out some different professions. So we've already allowed for, and I'm told in the past we actually allowed for two to live outside of the district. So just for kind of food for thought, and we've already been informed that the two members whose term expires in 24 do not plan to seek reappointment. And so that would leave us with one person. And as I said, I think we've only received one application over the last few months. So some things that we kind of bounced around was perhaps opening it back up to two people that live outside of the district. And then we've also had some people who own a business or run a business in the Old Village Historic District, but they don't live there. But they have a genuine interest in it. And so we thought perhaps we could look at maybe opening it up. One seat could be somebody that... And I don't think we want to pigeonhole ourselves. So we don't want to say, you know, one person has to run a business, but open it up to that. If we can't find anybody, obviously, we're going to prioritize folks that live in the district, but perhaps look at allowing two people that live outside of the district or one person. One seat could be filled by somebody that actually owns a business in the district but perhaps doesn't reside there. So those are just a couple things we were looking at. We wanted to bring it to y'all just for a little bit of discussion, food for thought, as we move forward at Planning Commission for a public hearing.
Committee, do we have any questions? Is that it? I think I'd be more inclined to just add another seat outside. I mean, it may be a point that we want to extend our historic district. You never know. So, rather than a business, a resident that lives outside would be more what I would be inclined to do. Mr. Chapman?
I would agree with Ms. Hyatt. This is a very important commission for the town, and it needs to function properly. So I would be inclined, if we can't find anybody quickly, given the fact that you've got two seats expiring, it's very important for this commission to be able to continue functioning, to keep our old historic area the way it is, and even improve it. So that would be my thoughts.
Remind me again how we advertise those seats, like what methods?
Miss Barrett puts it in, I'm not entirely sure. I think she puts it in the Post and Courier. Yeah. And we've talked about that too, is we talked about the orientation, doing some sort of open meetings where we can, you know, whether it's a social media blast, putting it out there more, and then getting people in and talking about what does somebody that's a member of this commission actually do. And perhaps that would get people interested. So we have some ideas, but we don't want to find ourselves come January, because we have people that depend on that. They can't get their building permit until HDBC approves their building plans. So we don't want to end up in that position.
Flyer be super expensive just to put a flyer saying to that community we're trying to target. I always think about like public services as they're, you know, emptying trash cans, they can just put a flyer in or something. That way we can target that community specifically. But yeah, I agree with Ms. Hyatt and Mr. Chapman as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think I also agree. I think marketing it to the community, I think there's a lot of, there's some turnover of people who haven't, you know, or newer people coming and aren't necessarily aware until they run up into it that it exists, right, and what they need in order to do things they want to do with their property. So, I think opening it to two, but I also think enhancing the marketing of it, like when there's a social media blast, maybe even letting council know so that we can reshare it to our social media groups. And there's different sub Facebook groups that are, you know, Old Village Facebook groups or those kinds of things. So, I like the idea of an orientation, but not just for this commission. I think for all the commissions, like doing something to educate the public about what all the different commissions are, because these are all volunteer-based commissions, and we do struggle at times to fill some seats because it's a lot of work for people to take time out of their day to do these things. So I think I think a community orientation that's live streamed or something so that people can look at it on the town's social media as well as come in person would be useful.
All right. Okay.
I don't think we need a vote on this. No,
it'll come back to you next month.
Okay.
So just wanted to get your input before it goes to the commission.
All right. We are, unless there's anything further from the committee, I think we are done with item
number. Number seven.
Yeah.
One more.
Well, I was going there. I was going to move on from number six. Does anyone have anything else on number six? No. Okay. All right. Item number seven, Public Input Matters final report.
Okay. First, I wanted to talk about what a huge, and I have till 9:15, so I'm watching the clock. I usually don't have time to do this. I won't keep you till 9:15, but we got some time. This was a really, really huge endeavor, and I know I've got a big part of our staff here, but this was every department in the town was involved in this, except for finance. Sorry, Marcy. She's reminded me several times. So next time we do this, I'll have finance there. But we had every department there at every meeting, and whether these public meetings are, I mean, it's a lot of work, and I know many of you came and supported it, and we really appreciate that. But whether you have two people show up or 200 people show up, the same amount of work goes into it. And a specific shout out to Liz Boyles, who really kind of wrangled everything. She got everybody together. She made sure everybody had their boards. Just a lot of work went into this. So I wanted to recognize the folks that really helped us with this. So if you'll recall, this was a series of meetings that we held throughout the town. The districts were divided based on our comprehensive plan that was adopted in 2020. It actually divided the town into 8 districts, but we ended up holding 7 meetings, and we combined the Carolina Park and the Rural District. So you could participate online or in person, and we had surveys online. We had surveys in person. We had little tablets set up trying to encourage people to do their surveys in person, because we knew once they left it would be hard to capture that. Here's an overall of our meetings. We had a total of 455 in person. Our first one on Johnny Dodds was a tough one. We only had 20. Our largest attendance was Carolina Park Rural District, followed by Highway 41. Total surveys, 245. Let's see. And I just wanted to point out, so this report that I'm going to provide is broken up by first the districts, and then at the end by themes. And I personally think by themes is more interesting, but you'll start to see some themes in the district that aren't necessarily captured at the end of the report. For instance, you start to see the age group. We had kind of our middle 31 to 60 was Town Center, Highway 17 North, and Long Point Road. So you look at kind of the center of the town, that's where our younger folks were involved, and then Coleman, and then up higher, further up on Highway 17 is where you had the 60 plus come. And you can also start to see when you look at just the transportation comments based on where folks live. So you start to see those themes picked up on. So first I'm going to go fairly quickly through the summaries by meeting. So Johnny Dodds Boulevard, I'm not going to hit all these. This was attached to your agenda. And if you have questions, please stop me. But some of the big things that I wanted to hit on was some reoccurring themes we did see was casual restaurants and family entertainment. Those were some things people wanted to see when they want to see more of in their district. Residents prioritized roadway capacity and technology. And one of the themes that we'll see is housing. It was predominantly, we need housing for young people, whether it was young couples or young singles. The business district, the business environment, overwhelmingly people left the district for family celebrations and work. Another thing I want to pick up on is how many people, and this isn't captured later in the themes, but under the livability, do you live or work in your district? And so in Johnny Dodds Boulevard, 32% of people that participated live and work there. And so you kind of pick up on those things as you go through. So just some comments on the Johnny Dodds focus on transit, multimodal. It's a gateway. Somebody wants us to connect the two sides. I think they want perhaps a pedestrian bridge over 17 for better connection. Long Point Road, a lot of the folks that came out to this meeting thought it was a meeting on the 526 port traffic issue. So, of course, you can see the number one concern is roadway capacity and technology. Housing, again, 63% said they know somebody that can benefit from housing.
And again, it was young single adults. Folks leave the area for family entertainment, casual dining. 20% of people who participated live and work in the Long Point District. The majority leave for the district for work and medical care. And then our comments, bike lanes, safe places to ride, the ability to work, play. And another theme that I'm not mentioning, but it is in the end, is if you notice every district, I think except one, wanted two-story buildings with residential and commercial mixed. So I thought that was interesting, but I'll get to that in the themes. Highway 41, this was mostly Park West, Dunes West. Again, people wanted to see more casual restaurants. Tree canopy, everybody wants to see more trees. You'll see in the themes, everybody wants to preserve more green, more canopy. Make it harder to take trees down, except when I want to take a tree down. Don't make it too hard. That was the message we got. This was the one area where the majority of people said there is not a lack of housing. However, the 55% who said, the 41% that said it was again young couples. Business environment, 42 leave for date night. And then again, 30% of the people that participated live and work in the Highway 41 district. That was interesting. Top priority of themes, we have improving road conditions, roadway improvement. So you can see the Long Point, the Highway 41. People are worried about the new interchange. They're worried about the Highway 41 redesign. Again, and our comments were related to that. Highway 17, that was a meeting held up at Lang Middle School, predominantly Brickyard came to that one. Again, family entertainment, casual restaurants. It's what people want to see more of. 74% said they know someone that could benefit from housing. Again, young couples. We were really surprised by that. We thought it was going to be more seniors. And you'll see in a minute, the only district that said they see a need for more housing for seniors was Coleman District. The majority of people leave the district for date night, and then only 8% live and work in this district. Again, we have our comments from 17 North. The roads are crowded, traffic lights. Want affordable housing, focus on sweetgrass basketry, which is great. We are working, and it was exciting to see some of the comments too, because we know the work that's going on, whether it's all of our transportation improvements, our efforts for the sweetgrass basket making, folks and things like that. So Colvin, again, we get back down into that age group where it's 60 and plus. Casual restaurants was wanted more. Let's see, 61% said they know someone that could benefit from housing. Again, that was the only one that was retired senior citizens. 18% of people that participated live and work in the Coleman District. And the majority of people that leave are for services and medical services. And then our comments. So you can kind of see down on the Coleman area, it was more the mobility. We want more walkability, want it to be safer where we walk, the sidewalks, things like that. Carolina Park, that was our largest attendance, and remember that was two districts combined. That was a really active meeting. Casual restaurants, again, family entertainment. Residents would like more elderly and a focus program, sports facilities, and I think it's interesting when you look at what folks want to see. Of course, with our land that we just purchased up there, we know that it's going to go to some of those uses. So it's exciting to see that. 59% said they know someone that could benefit from increased housing. Again, young single adults. 22% of people in this area live and work in this district. And then most people leave for date night services other than medical. Number one concern up there is traffic and roadway capacity. And then our comments for that area. Maintain green spaces. One was very specific to our trail in Charleston National. And last was Town Center. I think by this time everybody was getting sort of meeting fatigue. Our membership started to drop back down. But again, we had family entertainment. Here we had fine dining. 23% of people live and work in this district. Most people leave for services other than medical. Traffic management, traffic reduction, traffic and safety, those were the number one things. And then the summary comments. So now I'm going to get into the themes real quick. And I think these are really interesting. So we started with livability. And our first question was, where does Mount Pleasant excel? And this was really cool to see. Safety, neighborhood, and environment were the top three. And safety was definitely number one, followed by neighborhoods, and then environment. So four districts believe that we excel in safety. So that's a huge shout out to our first responders. Where does Mount Pleasant need to improve? You can see they unanimously said transportation, which is exciting because we know that we've got so many projects going on, and we would have folks come and write their comments on a board. And most of the comments were pertaining to projects that are in the works, they're planned, or they're happening right now. So it's good to see that we're kind of ahead of that, and we know what's going on. The second one was housing. The districts were asked to rank, not 1, 2, 3. So one was transportation, two was led by housing with a few others, and then the third was kind of across the board. It was everything from civic engagement to entertainment to environment. Housing availability, this was really exciting to see. Five of the districts liked our cottage court development, which is good to see because we're looking to add that to our zoning code. And that was followed by duplexes. Live, work, and duplexes. Most districts answered yes if you knew somebody that could benefit from the availability. And as we said, it was predominantly young, single, or couples. Coleman was the only one that said we could see some housing for seniors. And these were just some of the comments. Increase affordable housing options. There's no need. 11% said just stop development. And 7% said more mixed-use space. Business environment, 6 out of 7 said we prefer two-story buildings with residential or office above. The only one that didn't was 17 North, and that makes sense as you get up in that area. All districts had date night was their top three reasons to leave, except the Coleman area. When shopping, they all said, every district unanimously said, our biggest concern when we're going to leave is ease of parking. Where I'm going, am I going to be able to park? All districts had casual restaurants. They all agree that they could benefit from a locally based workforce. And then all except Carolina Park and the rural district had alternate public transit as their second most voted. And if you look at the parking, all the districts said on-street parking adjacent to businesses, except for 17 North and Long Point. So you think about what's going on in those areas. Larger open parking lots was the priority. Here we got into, and in the planning world, we call this visual preference. So we show people pretty pictures. Do you like this or do you like this? And so we started with this and with the landscaping and architecture. So all districts said they prefer this choice for their architecture. Down at the bottom. And just as a caveat, all of the pictures we used are not from Mount Pleasant. We didn't want to paint anybody in a bad light. So participants were given the following options and asked to identify which styles they did and did not prefer. So these were the options we gave them. And most of them chose number 13. And if you think about 17 North and Long Point, they liked that style better. And then the Carolina Park Rural liked the number 12 style better. What they did not prefer was the look on the left. Coleman was split, and then 17 North and Carolina Park Rural did not prefer the architectural style on the right, that three-story. So then we broke it up by hubs. So if you think about we have neighborhood scale, community scale hub. The neighborhood scale hub is just that. It's smaller scale, mixed use. It's supposed to serve the needs of the neighborhood, and these were the options they were given. All districts preferred choice number 2, again, for the neighborhood scale hubs. They did not prefer 11 and 16. 17 North was split between 16 and 17. So you get an idea of what folks like, what they don't like, and that's really valuable, particularly as we move forward. Right now,
for the code rewrite, we're working on a commercial design stuff, and we're working on these sorts of architectural features. So it's important that we get this. Preferred these styles for community scale hubs. Again, it was number two unanimously, except for Long Point Road. And then what they did not prefer, and again, it was the on the left. Stormwater, that was pretty pretty straightforward. Most people had a pretty decent rating of their water quality. 4 out of 7 identified litter as being their top pollutants, except for Highway 41. And then 17 North and Coleman said wastewater septic tanks. Transportation, 4 out of 7 ranked roadway capacity and technology as number one. Coleman said maintenance, and safety was Town Center and 17 North. People seem to like micromobility if they read about it. We had a lot of folks say, what is it? And the first step of that exercise was, here's what micromobility is. So some people moved ahead and didn't really understand what it was. But the big concerns, and obviously it makes sense when you look at the traffic and roadway, Coleman Boulevard, it's bike and pedestrian, and Long Point Road, it's the truck traffic. Where would you visit along Mount Pleasant Way? Most people said retail and dining, parks and recreational areas, followed by Waterfront Park, Ravenel, and then Town Center, Shim Creek. Tree canopy, again, all districts want increased coverage and they're supportive of town regulations. 6 out of 7 said preserve more trees. How about that? Carolina Park said buy land for conservation. Additional feedback, bury the power lines, which we're working on that now. The rules for removing trees need to be applied consistently. Trees are what make our Mount Pleasant neighborhood so great. And then cultural historic was pretty good. We seem to be doing a pretty good job there. We are looking at accomplishing some of these things. One is the picture book with all the roadside historical markers. Our staff now is getting ready to do training and create these story maps. And this is just going to be one of the many story maps, is all of the town's historical markers. So Kate and our historical commission are doing a lot of good work in this area. And last, this is not going to be a shocker to anybody, pickleball. 4 out of 7 had at least one comment asking for pickleball, adult and elderly, sweet grass weaving, pool facilities, boat access ramps, performing arts center. So that is it. I know that was a lot, but I wanted you to know how much work went into this and how it was really, you know, it kind of confirms things. People always, it's always transportation, it's always those things, but it's exciting to see that what folks are concerned about, we know we're taking proactive measures to do things about. And what we're going to do with all these, this report broken up by these districts is staff's already starting to work and organize on our 5-year comp plan update. And we're going to use this information to kind of build on those area district plans. The comp plan update also calls for an entirely new element called resiliency. And so we're going to be working on that. And we're going to be using this information. And so, again, just I really appreciate everybody's hard work on this. And this information is going to be valuable as we move forward. So I'm happy to answer any questions. Or
I just want to say thank you so much to you and your team. I think this is amazing. This report is amazing. And hearing from the community in such a real way and kind of seeing the overarching themes of what they're looking for in Mount Pleasant, I think is really useful to this council. So thank you very much. Any other members of the committee have something they'd like to say?
I just echo what you said.
I just have a couple of comments.
Sure.
Okay. So did I get that right? So we had 255 surveys?
245.
So this whole report is based on 245 surveys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who collected the data? Like
we hired consultants. Yeah, we hired consultants to take it all
and
yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just, you know, sitting here looking at the data going, this is really good data. If we had more than 255 people's opinion, and I'm just brainstorming, how do we make this more available so more people could do it?
Mm-hmm.
How long did this took? Like 6 months, right? How long did it?
Yeah, it took longer. We started in September. Our first meeting, I think, was September, and we wrapped it up in April. We left the survey open. And we also, this is based on survey data, but of those 450-500 that attended, we got their comments and stuff too. And so it was a combination of that data. But yeah, we left the survey open up until I think end of May, right, Liz?
How do we get people? I think I would be more inclined to pay money to get a marketing firm to help us get this information out there so that residents know how important. Mm-hmm. Because now here's this report that maybe they could have participated in. Had we done a better job of letting them know that this is important. We value their opinion, but we need to get it somehow. It's just frustrating. It's like you send out any survey, you know, you don't get responses. So it makes you question, you know, is that really a true picture? I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but it's just, and I'm wondering if we could maybe use like our festivals to get this done through, like Sweetgrass Festival or the Blessing of the Fleet to have.
We put it out everywhere.
I got a computer there with like the report, and this is election day. I mean, how can we? This is just frustrating. It's a beautiful report. The firm that put it together, it's absolutely beautiful, easy to read. I just wish we had some more responses.
But oh yeah,
thank you.
Yeah,
it's always a challenge.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's always a challenge, and we.
I think that civic engagement is unfortunately, we live in such a wonderful community that civic engagement is low because people are happy, and when you're happy, you're not here complaining to the people running the show. So I think that's one of the difficulty levels. When we look at voter turnout for elections in a town of 90,000 people, it's like 7 to 10,000 or 10 to 15 in a mayoral year. So I think. We put it out there. It's available to people, and it's difficult to get people to truly engage. I think a lot of like firms that do this, like Coca-Cola, they like pay people to do it. It's like $50 if you complete the survey, and then they get people to do it.
It's almost like I would love to put down a budget and spend money on marketing and making sure that $10 a survey, whatever it takes, but just like school surveys. You know how hard it is to get.
We gave out free trees too. We had a drawing, and three people won huge, beautiful trees.
Wow.
And then we couldn't even get the last person to come pick up their tree. you can't give it away.
Wow.
All right. Well, we are ready.
Thank you.
Short on time. Does anyone have any other thoughts? Okay. All right. There's nothing more to come before this committee. I declare that we are adjourned. Thank you so much.
Long time.
All